but you have not many masters. And I think Brother Charles Oban brought it out last Friday. A lot of people are instructors. They want to teach this, teach this, teach this, teach, but they are not masters. They don't know what they are teaching. So that's a word of prayer first. So we all stand. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, by your grace. I'm here because I wanted to, Lord. It was a hard night for me, but I won't let the devil seize the opportunity to keep me away. These are trying times. We know, Lord, our Savior is returning soon. We do not know when, but we know it's not very far away. And we want to be sure, Father, our life is right before thee. Not just calling ourselves Christian, believer, Bible believer, and then we live the life so rotten, not knowing who we are. I ask you, Lord, to open our heart. Touch my lips to speak, O Lord, truthfully, sincerely, Lord, that which I've been doing all these many years. Commit myself to thee right now, Father, you give me the strength. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You deserve it. I have been very breathless since the last few weeks. My throat is not flowing, and I think that there is some blockage. So I have to go to the hospital again to take it out and probably insert a new one. Now, my message this morning is know thyself. I preached this message twice, back in the 90s and seven years ago, I think. A message which the Lord put on my heart even before I finished my message on the mystery of suffering. And all my life, and you will not believe it, the Lord have guided me, give me a message, preach this, and even as I prepare the message to preach, whether it's a two Sunday, whatever, the Lord will always put another one after this to continue. I didn't prepare this just for somebody. This message was supposed to be preached after the mystery of suffering. But 2 weeks ago, I was not here. Right? So I don't know what's going on. But I want to say this one thing. Let me ask you a question. It might sound foolish, but think before you answer. I'm going to ask you a question. Think before you answer. Whether you're thinking it to be, or you believe it to be, or you had a dream to be, or the vision to be, whatever it is, think before you answer. How many of you believe that I'm going to die? Put up your hand. No. You believe that I'm going to die? Huh?
Someday.
Of course, someday. No, I'm not going to suffer someday. I'm talking about I'm going to die from this problem.
No.
No. Good. If you do believe that I'm going to die, you better say it now. Because you should not have said it after I died, a week later, a month later, or a year later. Then you can brag to somebody in the church. That's what I thought brother was going to die, and therefore he died. You ever heard about this thing? I know the Lord told me in my heart that he's going to die, but I cannot tell people because they're not going to believe. This has been a cause for many years. Do you remember Peter Wang? Back in 2012, he said, I predict one of the thunders will die, meaning me or Brother Knight. I wrote in the following years, I'm still alive. You pick your own prediction, post it on your website, turn to yourself, look smart, that you have some kind of gift. But you don't come to pass. Whether you predict, prophesy, or your dream, or your vision, or whatever is thinking going on, assess my life, oh, Brother Gunn is going downhill. He's going to die. No, I don't think about people dying. That's an evil thought. You may have vision, dream of prophecy, and deeper knowledge, whatever you think it is. But if you are not sure that it is the Lord speaking to you because you just have it, don't say it. You just make yourself foolish. You can brag around after my dead body and say, yeah, see, I know it was true, but it's going to die. I'm watching how the Lord is dealing with my body. Because I've given my life to him, he said, you do as you like. Because I pray 5 times, Paul prayed 3, I pray 4, 5 times, he said, just hand it to him. You have to go, I go, Lord. Every night I suffer. You don't know the pain that I've been through. When I heard about this, I said, wow. I could even feel just a little fraction of what Christ went through. An innocent person born to die, and he had to carry the sins of the whole world upon himself. What a terrible thing. That's why he was groaning and groaning in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, painful. And I don't think the disciple knew what he was going through. Go to the book of Matthew. I want somebody to read it. Matthew 16, 13 to 16.
Matthew 16, 13 to 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Tyre, Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God.
Good. Matthew 26, 31 to 35.
Matthew 26, 31-35. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended.
Alright, there's one last verse to read. It's Mark 14:31. Look at the difference. Mark 14:31.
And he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also did they all.
Right. Now there are many cases in the Bible, God had it recorded down. The behavior of the disciples, not just in the New Testament, but those men of God in the Old Testament. Here we have Peter, the great fisherman. He was very, very sure. Even after that, when he said, Now the Christ, the Son of the Living God. When the revelation was given to him to confess that Jesus was truly the Son of the Living God, did he really get the revelation and still have that in his heart that it is true? He was sure. But yet when he came to the time of the trial, and Jesus said, you know, many of you leave me. When the Lord God strike the shepherd, you will go. No, I would not. And Mark 14, God tells us, he spoke more vehemently. I will not leave you. I will die with you. Wow, a man who's so sure of himself. But let them what happened. You know, he denied Christ. Once, twice, three times. Wow, think about it. Did Peter know himself? Did he really know himself? At certain times, we are so cocksure. Yes, I know this, I know that. God showed me this, the angel showed me this. But it turned out to be all in the mind. Many times. That's the problem of how churches are scattered. My people are showing discord in the church. Showing discord in the ministry. Out there. I want you to watch this video. I want you to watch carefully what this man said. It's French and English, so listen carefully.
Mais Jésus n'est pas revenu jusqu'à aujourd'hui.
But Jesus has not come back to us now, right?
Et Frère Branham est mort.
Brother Branham is dead.
Mais il faut que quelqu'un prépare.
But someone has to prepare.
La seconde venue.
The second coming.
Ah, tu es merveilleux, Seigneur.
You're so wonderful, Lord.
Celui qui prépare la seconde venue aujourd'hui
est devant, prepares the second coming today,
est devant vous.
Is before you.
33 years ago on the river down there, in 1933 rather.
Selon ce qu'il a dit il y a 30 ans, il y a 33 ans là-bas sur la rivière, en 1933 plutôt.
What he said, everything has happened just exactly.
Ce qu'il a dit, tout est arrivé exactement tel quel.
I may not do it. But this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world.
Ce n'est peut-être pas moi qui le ferai, mais ce message présentera Jésus-Christ au monde.
For John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming.
Car comme Jean-Baptiste a été envoyé comme précurseur de la première venue, le message sera le précurseur de la seconde venue.
La seconde venue ne peut pas venir par l'écoute des bandes.
The second coming cannot come by the listening of the tapes.
Non.
No.
par un homme,
by a man,
qui sera puissant,
that will be powerful,
qui va succéder Frère Branham,
that will succeed Brother Branham,
qui va nous amener à croire que,
that bring us to believe,
que la seconde venue,
that the second coming will come.
Et cet homme est devant vous.
And that man is before you.
Oh, and I remember when he swept down there in that big light standing there at the bottom of the river, 1933 in June.
Oh, et je me rappelle quand il est descendu là-bas dans cette grande lumière, alors que je me tenais dans le fleuve en 1933 en juin.
When he said, had John the Baptist was sent forth, and forerun the first coming of Christ, I send you with a message to the world to forerun the second coming of Christ.
Et qu'il a dit, comme Jean-Baptiste a été envoyé pour annoncer et préparer la première venue de Christ, je t'envoie avec un message pour le monde, pour annoncer et préparer la seconde venue de Christ.
And around the world she's went when revival fires have been built for 15 years on nearly every mountain.
Et il est allé dans le monde entier et les feux du réveil ont été allumés durant 15 ans sur presque chaque montagne.
Divine healing across the nations and the power and restoration.
La guérison divine à travers les nations et la puissance et la restauration.
And now I believe she's ready to strike that final climax in order to bring forth the faith that will rapture the church in the glory. And she's laying in the message.
Et maintenant je crois qu'il est prêt à atteindre son point culminant final là-bas pour produire une foi qui enlèvera l'Église dans la gloire. Elle se trouve dans les messages.
Avant que Frère Branham
meure, before Brother Branham died,
avant que Frère Branham
meure, before Brother Branham died,
il avait parlé de la relève.
He talked about the takeover.
Il avait dit après moi,
he said after me,
tu auras un autre homme.
There'll be another man.
Qui est cet homme? Qui est cet homme?
Who is this man?
Va occuper la place de Frère Branham.
They'll occupy the place of Brother Branham.
Moi, je pense que cet autre homme qui vient après Frère Branham,
I believe that this other man that comes after Brother Branham,
c'est moi.
It's me.
On dirait que c'est vraiment cela.
It seemed to be it.
Si c'est le cas,
and if that's it,
donc si je meurs réellement,
if I truly die,
il se lèvera après moi quelqu'un,
will come after me someone,
qui continuera avec le message,
that continue with the message.
Ça sera une personne étrange.
It will be a strange person.
Cela signifie ça sera une personne puissante.
That means it will be a powerful person.
Je crois que cet homme puissant là,
I believe a powerful man
est devant vous.
Is before you here.
C'est ce que moi je crois.
That's what I believe.
Ah, probablement c'est vrai. Je dis oui.
Well, it's so true. I say yes. Yes.
Je crois que cet homme puissant là est devant
vous. I believe that person, a powerful person, is before you.
Jésus,
Jesus,
m'a envoyé sur la terre.
Sent me on earth.
Pour faire un travail.
To do a job.
Pour prendre la relève de Frère Branham.
To take over for Brother Branham.
Et je suis cet homme puissant là.
I am that powerful man.
Et donc Frère Branham,
Brother Branham,
avant de mourir,
before he died,
il a dit qu'il va remettre cette épée à quelqu'un.
He said he's going to give the sword to someone
d'autre.
Else.
C'est quelqu'un d'autre là, je crois. C'est celui qui vous parle.
The other person, I believe, is one that's speaking to you.
I've got to leave this world one of these days, but I want to leave it with a true heart, with doing the very best I can for the kingdom of God, and go in the harness. That's the way I want to go. May God help and put little Joseph, my little boy here, in my place to continue on the ministry if Jesus tarries.
Notice how he approached the subject. He never come right out, as I said a few minutes ago, and said, "Well, don't you know I'm your Messiah for this age? Don't you know what I'm he?"
Remarquez comment il a abordé le sujet. comme je le disais il y a quelques minutes, il ne leur a jamais dit carrément « Mais vous ne savez donc pas que je suis votre Messie pour cet âge-ci? Vous ne savez donc pas que c'est moi ?»
The real servant of God never identifies himself that way. Amen. The scripture identifies who he is.
Le vrai serviteur de Dieu ne s'identifie jamais de cette manière-là. C'est l'Écriture qui identifie qui il est. Bien sûr que oui.
You know what he's talking about? You all know what he's talking about? He's presenting himself as the one that come after Brother Branham. He's a powerful man, he said, because he's a rich man. And people in his church just say amen and believe everything he said to be true. This man is Baruki. The one that confronted me came to the hotel where I stayed to confront me and Brother Heinz. And he could not answer a simple question because he's very Branhamite. Taking every word Brother Branham said and interpret according to what he thinks. This is not just the one man. There are many. Look at this next one. The text. This is a passage from the man who called himself the leading apostle. Just see how you word it. Alright? He said, let me close my message, but first, I feel I must address the Abraham movement once again. Regardless of what you feel, what you think, preach or teach, I will tell you in plain and categorical terms. God did not give William Branham the midnight cry. Now I am a teacher, not just a teacher, I'm a master of this book. If you want to know how much I know about it, I can't tell you. God have told me you are not just a student, you are more than a teacher. When I was out there going on my knees and praying with the Bible, days and days and months and years, because God has called me into this ministry. That's why I left the denomination, all the denomination thing, I brushed it out. So you think you are a teacher? Let me tell you this, learn from a master. Look at all my writings that I have. Can anyone prove that it's wrong? Look at what this man said. William Branham, God did not give William Branham the midnight cry, the Elijah star messenger to this last age, the scroll of redemption to eat. And neither did he give it to the entire body of Christ. The book of redemption in Revelation chapter, chapter 10. Oh my, Jesus gave it exclusively to John. He gave it exclusively to John. But what he looked, you see how he interpreted who John was. And he consumed the entire scroll of the redemption in that prophetic vision, showing that John, the end time, of the end time, not only has all the things which Brother Branham himself did not have, you can deny it all you want, but the truth remains the truth. I do not make the statement to make John bigger than Brother Branham. For in comparison to the prophet's message or ministry, John is minor. Really? Without the messenger of God to this generation, a church age, where will you be? Where will you all be? I will still be in the denomination. But the fact remains that we move forward toward the return of Jesus Christ. Our understanding of truth will continue to increase on the authority of the prophet, chapter 4, verse 18, which declare, "But the path of the righteous, but the path of the just is that the shining light that shine more and more." Okay? Right? So he declared himself to be the only one that had all mystery given to him, because he represents John as a singular person, and that is him. John has always in the Bible presented the beloved bride, the one who was so close to Jesus Christ, the one who represents agape, because he's going to get, he was the one who chose. John was told to eat it. That is to say, we were told to eat the book, not just a single man. The representation is very clear. Now, the thing is this man stable? Did he know himself? He called out my name in his book when I don't even know him. And you know what he said about me? You remember that I had a dream that I put in my testimony? I will show it to you later. Let's go to the next one. Can you all read the text? What is that? This is on my website. And I know many of you don't go to the website once a month to help to check the new content or whatever. These two men, they were invited to the Ghanaian convention. There I was to be the chief speaker. My first message hit them hard. I don't know who they were, but I believe that they were from a big Brahmic church, but I don't know who. And they got offended. One of them went to the pulpit and started to run me down. You think about it. You go to the church room, call out my name, call out my message, and run it down. So I told the pastor who hosted it, I'm not going to be a part of this mess. And the pastor said, I agree with you. He didn't know himself what he invited me people. And when people come from different parts of Ghana to come and hear me, they say, "Brother, you only preach on this. It's not your 4th day. You're not even preaching anymore. Why?" And I told them the truth. I said, "But at least preach one more message." And of course, the pastor says, "No." I said, "Okay." This incident happened at the breakfast table. Church order. See his finger? Did you see his finger on the table? I want to ask him. This is what he was doing. You believe you're telling people the Brother Abraham church order in his church is not for every church in the entire message? I said, "Nope. My church has no problem not what Brother Abraham had. Problem was preaching, somebody was speaking in tongues." Then he says, "I don't want you all to do that. Go to the room if you have to give a prophecy or whatever it is. Go to the room, bring it up to each other, and then bring it up to read." I said, "We don't have the problem. You are wrong." The other one says, "What? He's not preaching a message." I said, "No. I'm preaching a message God gave me." This was back in the 80s. I stopped traveling in 81. I've already been attacked all the time. All because I take a stand for this truth. God has told me that. Just think about it. Do these people know what they're talking? And where are they today? No more. There are many people who are in the end time message, call themselves preachers, ministers. They lost the way. They do not know themselves. They thought that they believe what they believe was sensation. And I believe there are a lot of people in the end time message that came in the first time. Wow, this is a real message. This is good. You know, this is a true message. So everybody should be one together. It did not turn out to be so. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, even 30 years, some the minister left. Start to turn against William Branham. Do they know themselves what they believe? Wasted all those years believe preaching this message? It's all over the internet now, in the last 5-6 years. Unbelievable. Problem is a lot of people that do not know who they are. There are believers in our fellowship since 71 that I started. They're no longer around. They were around for a while. What happened? They said, oh, this is the real thing. Real thing? Then how come they left? If it is true, you hold on to the end. If it's not, after a year you don't think it is true, get lost. Go somewhere else. Go and believe some other thing. Do your thing. Like my half brother told my sibling last 3 years, 2 years ago, I think. Whatever you want to do, do your thing. Don't be like my brother pointing to me, doing this kind of work. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know who my creator is. But yes, he's lost. He doesn't know anything about it. And he trying to instruct people? What kind of teacher is that? That's the problem when there are people who think themselves to be teachers. They're teaching nonsense. In 1971, the Lord called me into this message when I was 23 years old. Prior to that, while I was in the examination of God, I went back to church as the Lord led me through a sinner. After 2 years backsliding, then the examination of God for about 3 years, I seeked the mind of God. Because God was putting a hurdle. I want to be what I want. He just put me aside and not able to advance further. So finally when we returned back to Him, I realized there's something that God is doing in my life. I asked the pastor, let me have a room in the parsonage to spend time with the Lord. I took my Bible, water, my concordant, and spent days in the fasting. And then he told me what I was supposed to do. I wrote it down in my Bible on the Friday, not knowing what to do, because as I said this, I'm the firstborn in my family. How can I go to Bible school? After all, I was in the denomination, what do you think? To be in a ministry, you've got to go to Bible school. You know? So I just wrote it down. A few months later, I saw another fast. Then the Lord revealed to me. Don't say like Jeremiah, that you don't know how to speak. Well, from your lips. I put what's in your mouth, you speak. You're not just a student. You're more than a student. You are the teacher. And I'm the teacher. That was all written down in front of me. Never showed anybody, steal my Bible in the Friday. Just waiting. So when the message came in 71, then I realized there is something. When we came out, there were about 7 of us. What do I do, Lord? And the Lord said, print the booklet and spread it out. Now, what would you do? You come out of the church and you have a small group with you. What are you going to do? What do you think you're going to do? You think the Lord has given you a ministry. What are you going to do? I already was hoping, what am I going to do? Just sit down now, study the Word of God, and then preach from place to place. Is that what it is? How am I going to reach out? And Lord has print a booklet. And that booklet was to contain prophetic news and the one short message of Brother Branham. And lo and behold, the Lord gave me the grace to be able to purchase a machine at a ridiculous price in installment. Really? I called that standard machine. The man came. And the machine is supposed to be, I think, $1,500, a hand crank. Back then, 71, $1,500 is a lot of money. I said, how do I go about paying this? You have to pay 20% down. How much 20%? $300. Right? I said, I don't have the money. And how much you have to pay someone every month? He said, it's about $100. I said, I don't have the money. He said, how much, what are you doing with the machine? I said, I'm bringing the gospel booklet. And we are just a few of us here can support. Then I asked him, how much can you put down payment? 100. 100. And how much are you going to pay every month? $20. Oh, I don't know whether it's possible to get me that, but I will talk to the boss. He went back, and a day or two later he called me. Okay, the boss said, we'll give to you. I guess it was much appreciated, I don't know. So the machine came. Not only that, I got free paper. They gave me 6 reams, I believe, of free paper. So we start typing the message onto, you know, the what you call stencil, all by hand, read it out, print. We print 500. What do we send it out? We source it from all those Christian magazines, where your pen pal and all of that. We send out Malaysia, Singapore, even to Indonesia. We're supposed to print one copy every 6 months if there is, you know. But goodness me, the letter came in one after another. Oh, we like the content, we like the content. You know, and they give some offering. Like $5, $2. And those that people put money in the envelope, you know. Okay. So we increased to quarterly. Instead of every 6 months, we print three months of booklet. So we were busy doing it. And then another one increases more, so we print by monthly. Unbelievable. They were doing the more from 500 to 1,000. And then we see, well, there's a lot of demand. Then the salesman came and said, how is the machine doing? It's good. How is your work? So good. You want to upgrade to semi-automatic? I said, how will it be like installment? Don't worry, just continue and give what you can. Oh, wow. Then we print, the more we print until about the 3rd year, he said, change to a new better one, fully automatic. Well, just press the button, Then we have brother and sister to help us. How many of you remember? Jimmy? Brother Paul, yeah. After we get a paper, we collate it, and we staple it, cut it, trim it, and post it. How does the work start? It's not by my, it's not by what you call knowledge of how to do it. You know what I mean? It's the Lord says, start printing a small booklet. And then increases. Then after that, of course, the first church complained that I'm using the booklet title as the spoken word. Through the publisher of Roy Border of the Spoken Word publication. And the pastor complained that I'm confusing the people. Then he said, Brother God, can you do something about it? I said, no problem, Brother Roy. So they're nice men. When I went back afraid about it, and the Lord said, change it to prophetic revelation. Yeah, prophetic revelation. And the 40 day or two, the newspaper article in the Straits Time, you got a half a page. What is prophetic revelation? I looked into it and said, wow. And of course the article was, the person who was writing that was writing about how that the prophet of old bring forth the word of God or God's message, things like that. So it started that way. So from then on, of course, it leads to what we call instead of hand typing, we use that, I don't know what you call that, the typewriter that's a flywheel, they go instead of typing, you just get into the computer. In those days, the computer was a junk big thing, it cost $2,000. They use a floppy, you all remember. Yeah. And what we had, the flywheel, quite fascinating, those was high class at that time. So we, more brother and sister, join us in the fellowship. And we have it in the house. Later on, of course, we go to YMCA and then Brother Jimmy's home, Brother Kiang's home, and so on, and so continue. Now, I want to say this. In 1971, I came to myself. 1972, there was a prophecy. Look at this prophecy. Can someone read it loud?
After that to me, saith the Lord, your gathering together in this manner is not of your own doing. I have caused it to be. I have called you out that I might have the people. I have set thee for a ministry to raise up a standard in this part of the world for a blessing to my people.
Now, this prophecy, people have misunderstood it. They think that the Lord is saying that I will raise a church here to raise a standard to the world. You are part of this ministry. That is true. But God did not raise you up to raise a standard. Ask you a question. If God raised the nation of Israel up with a message, with a standard to change the world, when God deals with people, He does not deal with a group. Israel was His people. They were messed up, they forsaken God. So who did He raise up to lead the people? Moses. He didn't choose the nation. He chose a leader. He chose Moses to lead the people. And when God chose a man for the ministry, God made sure that there will be those that were supported. Do you know it? That's why I told the Lord, Lord, I will do the ministry if you can give me 10 who will support the cause. And as I said this, when I said support the cause, I'm not asking You force them to give me money. No. Support the cause with the same revelation that this is the work of God. And to do it. Was it top going? You bet. It is not easy. There's always contention. We share, we study the Bible. I preach the Word of God in a small group and just go to from 7 to 10 to 20. Back then, as I said, there is someone whom I know who came to my home that time we were having our books being printed there. He visited me and asked me, how is your work doing? I said, you're fine. How many of you have now? He said, we have about 12 at this time. How long have you been in this thing? I said, well, about 2 years. Oh, okay. We are starting a group too. And a year he came back again and asked me, how big is the church now? They're the same size. Oh, the Lord is not with you because you never grow. But the Lord is with us. We start small now, it's very big. So, oh. And I said, you know what? God is not with you. The bigger one is the Catholic Church. You see, what are you looking at? Are you looking at quantity or are you looking at quality? You think God is interested in quantity? That's how God forbid King David. Take a censor. You want a cow head? I don't count heads. I know people come, people go. Oh, Brother Gunn's church obviously never grows. So, if you see Brother Gunn's church never grow, you don't think that this is really God's working? Then go somewhere else that is bigger, like a charismatic. Have some joy and jumping around in a charismatic. What are you looking for? I'm looking for the real truth. Oh, but again, they are preaching the truth up there also, the charismatic Pentecost. Yes. But how pure is the truth of God that they are preaching? Instead of learning, they are not. They still hold the tradition. You think about it. There are people still believe in the Trinity as if there are three gods. Or the God with three heads. Three gods squeezing into one chair. And that's what I believed years ago when I was in the system. Until the Lord just showed me one sentence about that said. Three persons of the same identical substance makes three gods, or else language is not language. You cannot say three persons, they are gods and they are one. One in what way? When I asked the pastor of the church before I left, he appeared before the Lord, their God, there's a throne. Who will be sitting on a throne? For the moment he said, what, even there's a throne now for God sitting? He said, did not the Bible say so? Then he think. Okay. I said, how many thrones that God sits on? One. That is for sure. Now he's my pastor, he's older than me. So let's look at Revelation, what does he say? The throne of God and of the Lamb. One, no S. Okay. I said, okay, now you stand before him, how many do you see sitting on the throne? Four, what an answer did I get? Then I realized he doesn't know the Bible, though he'd been seminary with a pastor or overseer or some kind of the assembly church here and there, whatever. He told me what? Oh, if God wants to make himself to see you for you to see three, you will see three. If you want to appear to appear to be one, you will see one. I said, Pastor, God do not play with black magic or even white magic. Either he's one or he's not. He was upset because he questioned me in front of the young people whom I was teaching. With this permission for Monday night, training them sewing, prayer warriors. Back in those days, time spent with prayer not just in the church where they gather with them. I was praying, warrior. Go up to the couple alone, you know, just to be alone and pray. So of course he was upset with me. And I left the church after that. So remember, to have a ministry, there must be one who is sent to be a leader. When Brother Branham was sent, who were the people that were supporting him? The full gospel businessman, especially. You know? God did not call the full gospel businessman to raise them up for ministry, because the full gospel business, they are businessmen from different Pentecostal churches. And so they are. In 1975, here was this vision I had in the night. You have seen this in my testimony book. You know, when this vision appears before me, the voice that said, keep on high over there, was an angelic being speaking. The gathering of people. And then you can see the podium with the throne of people. Then my name was called out to receive a reward. And when I was called up to the first prayer to receive a reward, the throne of people asked the question, for what was he called to receive the prize? The angel in that glorious cloud area, he spoke for the restoration of the foundation. I stepped onto it. The next person in the second place, on my right hand side, he rushed up. Then the third person, I don't know who the person was, not familiar. The second person, I knew him as a patient in the hospital, whatever, a mental patient. So when we all stood up to get our prize, the mental patient was pushing me off the podium. So what, you know, when I look at the mental patient, I knew that he was a patient that I nursed. But in that, I know who he was, but in the vision, I closed my mind to his name. And I know he was up to mischief, trying to knock me off my place. And then later on, the Lord showed me, you're going to face people who don't know who they are. People who are not mentally sound, not physically, but spiritually. They will come against you, try to knock you off your place. You see, that leading apostle, what they call lead apostle in Nigeria. Sister, where are you from? Kenya. You know anything going on in Nigeria? No. Okay. Amos, who called himself the leading apostle, was reinterpreting my vision. You see, he said, Brother Ganesh, go up to the foot, to the top podium. Then the second one is the mental patient. So the mental patient also getting the prize. That shows that Brother Gan is mentally sick. Are you exactly the same as Peter Wang, who tried to reinterpret Brother Nye's vision of the clear drinking water? People want to interpret somebody else's vision or dream. A dreamer, if he dreams something, doesn't know what it is, leave it, and slowly the Lord will unfold. Back in 19, let me see what year it should be. I can't remember what year it was. It was when we were in Fukushima Fellowship and Brother Tiang's father's home. Yeah, what year was that? I can't remember. I think it should be around late 70s. And you all know Steve Ellison? Yeah. Steve Ellison joined us because he was upset and fed up with the first church. Because the tithe and offering was misused. So, well, he heard about Richard Gann, and he wanted to figure out who is this Richard Gann. And somehow he got my telephone number and even where I work. At that time I was working in the Bureau Hospital Rehab. He called me up and said, "Can I come and have a talk with you?" I said, "What is it about?" So, well, I have some question. I want you to clarify. So, well, you're always welcome. There are people who seek my advice, and then they will tell me, "But this is not what Brother Abraham said." I said, "I don't care what Brother Abraham said. Do you understand what he said? You interpret what he said. So what do I care about? If you really know what Brother Abraham said, you will not rebut me. This is not what Brother Abraham said, so what? Do you all know that if Brother Abraham said the sky is red, it is red? It is not blue. Your eye can deceive you, science can tell you lies. There are only theories. Yeah, this is what the sun said." He was so proud of his father. God sent a prophet, he's been vindicated. If he tells you the sky is not blue and it is red, you better believe it. Woo! Does the man know himself? Does he know his father? Sad. And you know, Steve Ellison came to my hospital there when I work. When I'm free, he came in the night in the car with the wife and the brothers, I think three or four of them all together, and asked me questions. Asked me about tithing, who does it go to? And then why am I not with them, this and that? I asked him, "Why did you want to leave them?" "Oh, it's because of this tithe and offering, you know, he doesn't give an account." He said that to the congregation, "Your duty is to give tithes. My duty is to collect tithes." Wow. No account given. How the money, how much comes in, how much goes out. You'd be surprised. There's a whole lot of money. Five figures. Every month. Five figures. Here, where did you get five figures? Hardly ever hit five figures unless maybe it's your 30-month bonus or something. And look at the work we have been doing. A blessing to so many people. For a child, so good. When the first time I was in Uganda, when I went to Uganda, it was in the 1990s. I was in my 30s, if I'm right, or late 30s, but he was a young man. He heard me preach, and from then on, he associated with me learning. And look at his ministry today. outreach throughout Uganda. Yes. Look at Brother Nice. These are people who know what they believe. Preachers. Yes. Brother Open told me it wasn't for me. They don't know what he would be. Brother Nice told me the confusion. It wasn't what he came here to ask me some question and how the Lord dealt with him. Where would he be? Brother Andrew Peary, don't read the white book. The pastor told him when he went to the pastor to look for some books to read. Our books are all white, except one, the finale. So he took the finale, which is orange. And that changed his understanding. You cannot hide truth from those who hunger for truth. You cannot. God will give it to you. You are sure. And as it is said, every true believers, they really are seeking for truth and love the Lord, they will come into contact with an apostolic ministry. Because it is the apostolic ministry that set the foundation. Look at the foundation of the Lord. Through the fight to the apostles, there are 12 foundation stones. There was one sure foundation to be Christ. There are 12 angled stones on the sides of the pyramid. So the cornerstone has become the apex, the chief cornerstone. That's the only one that's up there. The rest of the 12 are on the side. That stone has been destroyed by Catholicism, Protestantism with all its rituals. That's what God through the years slowly, slowly restored a bit by bit. Until the final restoration with Him. The last three, justification, very much needed in the days of Luther. Very, very much needed because God don't have to show that any other thing. That is the time for the message to get the people to see. You don't get saved by your mass, purgatory, absolution, and all the sign of the cross and your prayer beads. And yet when the people came out, yeah, they formed themselves, and later on we have all the other branches, the Baptist, the Presbyterian. What did they do? It's the same thing. And then here came John Wesley. How can people be really showing the sign of born again if they said they are justified and that's all that they need, they are not sanctified? So God needs to have a vessel that is sanctified to fill in His Word. And that's finally we have in this last church age. The message of getting the people out from the system. Out from man-made ritual. Out from darkness. And what are we going to do? What, do you want to go back to darkness? You certainly do not want to. Understand what I'm saying? So, Steve Ellison came and then after talking to him, he said, "Brother, can we join for fellowship?" He said, "Yeah, you're sure welcome." He came and of course, we had a good time. He's a charming brother. Speaks well. Sings well. Wrote a few songs. And many times when he caught up to fellowship with me, he will tell me, but again, God showed me this. God showed me that. And what did God show him? He said, "I went to this church and I find that the church was packed and people are standing outside." And I see in the dream that there is this what called I can't remember what he was saying about that. The pyramid of on the pulpit, things like that. So I decided to build it according to wishes. And all the time I knew that the Lord showed me is not the Lord showing, but just to let him have his will, because there's nothing to fight over. You know what I mean? He said, "Brother, I want to check it this way. Is it okay?" "Yeah, hey, no problem." So one day he met this preacher. He read the book and he asked me to read it. The book is called Mystery of Iniquity. And I read about it, and I read it. What does it contain? He said, "There is no 5-4 ministry." This is a Canadian man. "There is no 5-4 ministry, it's only a 4-4 ministry. Apostles, prophet, pastor, I'm sorry, apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher is just one. They are combined together." He said in the book, the Greek word for Kai, K-A-I, is the word of translated as and, A-N-D. So, pastor, Kai, teacher is one, not two. The pastor inside is also a teacher, not two. Think about it. Now, an apostle is also a teacher, not two, one. So everybody is a teacher, correct? Evangelist is a teacher. Prophet is a teacher. But the teacher is a separate one. There's the lowest, because it's the lowest where the minister learn from the top. You must remember God's channel. God's channel, the anointing from the top down. The 5-4 ministry are not equal. So we said they are equal. Equal? Then why give them 5-4 ministry? Call them preacher. Isn't that the same? Each of these ministries has a function. That's why in the Old Testament you don't get apostles. You got prophet as God's spokesman. But the New Testament is a different thing. Christ put the apostles second, the prophets second to the apostles. And what was Jesus called? The Jews call him prophet. But what do we call him? Huh? Come on, Lord of it. Yeah. Our shepherd and apostle. Why not prophet? But Christ didn't say that he was a prophet to us, but he was an apostle to us. Because he established the church with the revelation of all that he represents in God. Amen. You see that. But do people understand the Bible? God has opened my mind to all this. Many places are important to be able to answer people. Well, Stephen came and he said, this. So one day, because of his belief in this purpose, he gave me the book to read. I said, "Okay, brother, what do you want to do now?" He said, "I want to preach this Sunday." He says, "Okay. I know what he's going to preach." He preached on Sunday. You still remember the message? Preach a 4-4 ministry. He said, "There's no 5-4 ministry." But that's okay if you want to believe, but not that. It says that any church that has a pastor controlled by a man is neglected. So I cannot be a pastor. Then what I'll be? So the church should be called elders. You know the book was telling people in the early days called elders of the church. Hey, who are the elders and who are the pastor? Who are the apostles? Elders are never ordained by God. It's a secondary ministry that was introduced to Moses. Moses ordained elders. In the New Testament, Paul said the same. To Timothy, Titus, you ordain elders. But the fivefold ministry is ordained of God. Okay. Can the people tell the difference? No. Why? Many people do not want to learn. I'm very observant even when I see denomination. What they preach on is our observant. So when the message came, they said, "My, how that doctrine Trinity is completely wrong. And maybe it looks foolish." I said, "Lord, I'm so foolish. I pray to you, Father, 20 minutes, Son, 20 minutes, the Holy Spirit, 20 minutes. Because you're all equal." Yep, I did that. You won't believe it. I have to be fair to them, right? But now I know God's much better now. Once I took all this theological book of fundamental doctrine of churches and all that, I gave it up. So, after Steve Ellison preached, you know, he doesn't know what I said, so he called up some brother and sister. I think he called you up too, huh? He called up, called Sister Aggie up, called some brother and sister, and tried to persuade them that Bergan is wrong on the fivefold ministry. So after that was over, he didn't come. Then one day he came to my home and talked to me. You want to explain something? It's okay. So Bergan, do you know that I have told you my dream? I said, which one? Because you have told me many dreams. Oh, the one about me finding myself preaching out there, and then there, now this is the exact word, I still remember all this. Any incident that is extremely ridiculous, it stays inside here. He said, do you remember I was up preaching and they, T-H-E-Y, they came and caught hold of me and forced upon me a rope, half a white, half a green, and threw me into prison. And then after that, I found myself again out there preaching. Because, see, he's an evangelist. In fact, he was waiting for some kind of a confirmation that he was called to be an evangelist. And he got it, was so happy. See, when I was up there the second time, they caught hold of me and forced me to wear a robe of half white, half brown, and threw me into the prison. So after that, I woke up. That's the dream I talked to you about. And you did not interpret to me. Just hold a minute. You came to me to that dream. And you told me the God that gave me the song is the same God that interpret the dream for me. Okay, watch here. Yeah? I said, I remember interpreting part of the dream. He says, no. Okay, let me tell you this to refresh your mind. If you don't like some interpretation, later on you read the pre whatever you want. That's fine. I said, do you remember? I told you that the rope falls upon you, this white part, is part of the Word of God. I don't know more for anything else. You just leave it and see how the Lord feels. Oh, yeah, you did. And I said, okay, continue your interpretation. Oh, the Lord was showing me that you are just like Samuel, that was a corner. The green part, I mean the one that I wear, half white, half green, represents Samuel Tawasukono. Because he's a green heart. He doesn't know how to control people. But you represent by the white and the brown. You control people very well. You're matured. So wow, is that right? I'm the pastor of the church. He came and joined us a fellowship and preached. Whenever he felt like preaching, did I control anybody? Have I controlled any one of you? Did I use any doctrine to control you? The Lord told me from the moment when I read Barabbas' testimony, you be sincere. But look at the world's economy. You keep your tithes, I collect tithes. I don't have to keep account. What else they did during the deacon selection among the people? One brother was selected. He don't like him. He came out and said, oh, for those who are sisters, you cannot vote. We vote again. Still the same person got to vote. No. We have the third one. Only those who are 21 and above, something like that. Three times, the brother was chosen. But he didn't know what was going on until somebody said to him, all the casting vote was you, but he doesn't like you. That's control. But if you tell me right now, Brother God, I want to be a deacon, I will ask the congregation whether we like you. You see, these are moved by the work of God, is moved by the Holy Spirit. But the church is not growing. The church is not growing. Why? I didn't ask for more than 10. But God is giving more than 10. How many did Jesus have? How many disciples? Is he a few thousand, a few hundred? He only got 12. 12 disciples. I'm talking about disciples, not followers. I go to church, I believe Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower. That's what you are. Not a disciple. A disciple learn. And when they learn, they serve. The follower do not. Yes. And when the disciple serve, their wife, your daughter, whoever, you learn what the father was doing, and they will do the same to serve. When Jesus visited home, you know, they serve coffee or whatever. Not coffee, I don't think they drink coffee those times. So you see, the church condition, if you don't like the church, you have different perception. So I asked him, Steve Allison, whose dream was that? That's your dream. Who were these people called, or who, whatever you call them, they called of you? Who are they? Could I answer? Who was the person being forced, captured and forced to wear a robe, half white, half green? It's you. You know? You are traveling around the world because you work in the airline. You go to this church, that church, they preach all things, and you have all this mess up in your head. And in the prophecy, they are given to him because of he wanted to desire. I didn't know that. But he only told me later on when the Lord told him, you are called into evangelism. In that dream, in that interpretation was already given to him. I said, do you know that? I was standing at the pulpit. The organ was on this side, and he was playing the organ. I was standing behind the pulpit, and everybody was praying. Brother Horty was there at that time, and everybody was praying loud. And I was praying there, and the Lord spoke to me, pray for him. He was playing piano, then he stopped there. Pray for him. I turned around, he was putting his hand like that. I said, no, Lord, I will not pray for him until he comes up to the front. Because I want to make sure that it's the Lord's will and not just because I want to pray for him. Then after a while, we were still praying. My eye was closed, and immediately now opened my eye. He was kneeling in front there, alone by himself. I took his Bible from the organ, opened it up, go to him. He was kneeling down. I took his hand together, put it inside here, and I bind with the Bible. Then I prophesied over him. Later on, I asked him, do you recall the prophecy? You are called into evangelism, but everywhere you go, to every church that you visit, you're going to hear all kinds of words. And if you are not careful, you'll mix the word of God with the words of man. And then I put the Bible, drop it on the floor. I said, do you remember? This is what's going to happen to you if you're not careful. The green part is when you are hearing all this, you're green like a sapling. That is matured. But the Lord will not show you the fruit that you bear. He just want to warn you to be careful. I prophesy only when the Lord needs me to prophesy. I don't try to manufacture gifts of healing miracles. When I travel the world, I don't know how many of you realize that I pray for the sick, they will heal, even instantly. Do I brag about it? There are people like to brag. And the vision that they saw. Remember I told you the case about my visit to Uganda the first time? They don't know me. They want to test me. So from Kampala, they drove the van up all the way to Soroti, which is far off, takes almost a half a day travel. But I don't reach there, we're all dusty because it's an open van. No water, hotel no water. Just given a pail. And we're all covered with dust. And there, on the way there, we're to pick up a pastor to join us. So when we went to the house to pick us up, he came to the van and he said, Brother John, before we proceed, can you pray for my wife? I said, what's wrong with your wife? Yes, she's been suffering the abdominal pain for so many days. And preacher, I prayed for her, but no result. You come and pray for her. I went to the home, the door, and she was sitting at the doorpost, you know, trying to breathe. So I put my hand on her, I prayed for her, sincerely, what I know, how to pray. Then we left. We went up already for a convention, I think about 5 days or something. Then we came back. to Kampala for another convention. So when the evening came for the convention, the pastor's wife came to the meeting. The pastor said, "Oh, very good, wonderful. My wife is completely healed." And she dreamt that after you prayed for her that night, she dreamt that when you put your hand on her to pray, she saw a big hand from heaven pick up something. And nothing to do with it. I just pray. In Philippines, I think you probably have heard of it. My first vision was to the south. But then the following year, I was invited to Manila. I think about two years later, they have a big convention, they invite me. Okay. That was in 1984 or 5, I can't remember. So, when I went there, one of the pastors and his wife invited me to have lunch with them. This is the first time I got to know them. She said, "You want to come to my house to have lunch with us?" I said, "I went." What happened? During lunchtime, they told us, "But again, we have been married for 3 years or so. We are trying very hard to have a son, to have a child. And people have been praying for us, but we didn't have. But we wanted to pray for us because he was recalling the event of Elisha. Was Elisha the prayer for the son of a Shunammite woman? So he said, "Brother, I believe that you pray for her, she will have a child." I said, "You believe it?" "Yes, then I'll pray." "What do you want, son, daughter, or what?" "Oh, we want a son." So I lay hand on her and pray for her. Came home a few weeks later. "Oh, good news, Bergen. She conceived." And he called his name, and they called his name David. Well, he's a big man now. And they have 3 other children, I think. There are a lot of events start to happen because God is just vindicating my ministry. Not that I have signs of wonder, but that the word that I delivered is true. Look at Brother Hossel. Before I went, there were 2 missionaries, American missionaries, that were there for many years. What did they do? Was that just was never stabilized? So when I went to the old man's, the only person that invited me was a small little church in the home of an old man. Brother also came to hear about it, you know, and because they know each other. So Brother also said, "Okay, I will see Brother John at the airport in Butuan." So I went, I landed at the airport, all the passengers left. I said, "Hey, nobody can miss me." You know? The old man doesn't know how I look like because in those days we do anything. And under the brought ourselves. So I was standing there waiting, and then the old man was there looking for somebody, and also there looking for somebody. Then after he looked at me, he came to me, "Are you Brother Richard Gunn?" I said, "Yes." "Oh, I thought you was a white man or something." So the servant I was introduced there. He asked me to go preach for him as well. I said, "Okay, when I finish that other one, I'll come over." And I preached for him once and he came back. So Brother Gunn, "Please come back again." So when I was invited by Brother Osa to go back and preach, the 2 missionaries said, "Why do you invite Brother Gunn? Your father is the best teacher here in Philippines. Why do you have to invite Brother Gunn?" But Brother Osa knew that his father does not have better understanding because he's mixing with his American, with all because of Brother Bram, this and that. Yep. And one day, one convention, 2 conventions, Look at the churches today. Outreach, the church is stabilized, people are willing to continue, keep their tithes in the offering. And they reach out to others, and their others are following. You don't have a ministry. I'm telling you, I'm not looking for quantity. I'm looking for quality. Can you maintain your walk continuously with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you cannot, that means you do not know who you are. What are you following? What are you learning? So I'm not worried about how big the church is. I'm not looking for quantity. I know the people will come and go. Surely. Because people's mind are fickle minded. One moment they believe this, next moment believe something else. The same thing with some other brother that's already passed and gone. The dad said a lot of things about me. Yeah, and that all the thing about the churches too. Yeah, you are all cows. He said, Brother, your church are all cows. You are putting a hook around their nose and pull them. Wow. Because why? He's saying that the sister in the church cannot bun their hair. Must let it flow. Because the Bible says long hair, not bun hair. What rubbish are you talking about? Oh, you cannot give on Chinese New Year gum, oranges. Don't give on foul. So why? Because the Bible says they are the tradition of the others. Oh. What are traditions of the others that the Bible talks about? Is it about oranges? I told him. Why did you shake hands? What do you say then? Is it not a tradition? Correct? How do the people in the Bible days greet each other? Howdy, Moses. Is that what they do? They don't shake hands practically at all. Except the Romans, they cross their hand like that. They hug, they greet each other with a hug, with cheek to cheek. Right? And if you think that it is wrong for a sister to hug a brother or a brother to hug a sister, you got to understand why. When there are a lot of young people, you don't want to encourage them. Neither do I want to see an elderly brother hugging a younger sister. Because younger sister doesn't want to hug you. Keep away from her, straight away. You should have some kind of understanding. The hugging is a mature thing. Yvonne, you want to come hug me? Yeah, call me grandpa, whatever you want to call. But sister Eunice, come hug me. I didn't go there. Nope. Is hugging one another spiritual? It's not the Bible. The Bible didn't say they can hug each other. It's a tradition that has nothing to do with spiritual life. So don't get yourself messed up. I don't hug a sister unless the sister approaches me want to hug me. And neither do I grab them hard. Because there's a lot of fresh at play. You understand this thing? Why can't I lay hand on Brother Gan? That's a question. If you have been following the Bible teacher, if you know the Bible really well, you know. Authority comes down from the top. It's the minister to anoint the people. The people do not anoint the minister. A minister is not called by them. A minister is called by God directly. And if he is called of God, his ministry will be vindicated. Brother God, is your ministry vindicated? I said, you want to see a halo? I don't think you can see it because it's not for you to see. In Uganda, when I was preaching, some brothers and sisters saw the pillar of fire. Same thing over in Butuan. And even how God showed Brother Osham to stand with Brother God on the rock. And he was so excited, he told the man, they said, yes, that's why I've been praying that you know Brother God's place. But people don't have eyes to see all these years when people come to this fellowship. I'm very discerning, I'm watching your behavior, your character. What's going on in your life? I'm always watching. But I won't tell you anything. Because human beings like not like to be told. I watch you until you complain, murmur, make mistake, then I'll tell you. We all need to know ourselves to change. While we are coming to the last day, Christ is perfecting us. You want to be big half. And you think you're half big, you can go to heaven or go to rapture. Look at what the Bible said about the tares. They are separate first, bind together and cast into the fire. Right? So you're going to go to tribulation? Look at a foolish virgin. Give us oil, give us oil. Why? Because they're callous and foolish. Not seeking the oil when the time is there for them to seek. And when it's too late, then they find themselves in outer darkness. I'm preparing myself for his coming. And you all better prepare yourself for his coming. Amen. I won't say this much today, because there are a lot more things to say. I will continue next week. And the Lord bless all of you. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for giving me this strength, Lord, to go through. There are a lot more things, Father, to instruct, to understand. I pray the Lord make us to realize who we are. Help us to examine ourselves, to know ourselves, and to know who we really are. I thank you, Lord, for the strength you give me through the night. Though I have not much sleep, yet refresh me, Lord. Because truly, Lord, the food is not physical, it is spiritual. And I have eaten a lot of yours. And today, Lord, I thank you for all that you have done. Asking, Lord, you bless everyone now. May we take the word seriously and examine it in Jesus Christ's wonderful name.